The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
The Raheel and Dell Show.
All right, here we go. This guy used to take report cards out of the mailbox to hide them from his parents. Was it Dell, Raheel, or Tyler?
Well, I think for reasons that I believe, I think it's going to be Raheel.
Okay, why would you believe that?
Because I think you're sneaky enough to do that.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Okay.
The Raheel and Dell Show, weekdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline.
Es feo, es sucio. Hear that? Giles es feo, it says.
No.
Vino a Verlanda y ganamo.
I heard something about Giles and Chupa Me, and I was like,
whoa. No, whoa. No, it didn't say anything about Chupa Me.
The Bench, weekdays from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN 97.5. John and Raheel with Dell, weekdays from 9 until 11.
Gilbert, do you have pegs on the back of your bike so your buddy can jump on behind you?
No, no, no.
You don't ride anybody around?
No, I don't ride nobody around, except for Wendy.
Oh, son! Woo! Jeez,
John and Raheel with Dell are on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
The Blitz with Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
That's the best part of sports is the emotion that you get out of it.
Weekdays from 4 to 7.
It's like a marriage. If you're married to something, you're that big of a fan, you're going to have bad times.
On ESPN 97.5.
All right, we've got basketball tonight. We've got all kinds of stuff. I'm back, and we have two very special guests. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on The Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler. The Falcon, no AJ today, but we got that covered. Don't worry. John Lee, the master. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at Jon Snow, with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday. We do things just a little bit differently. We put odds on things, technically percentages, I know, but we'll just play along. What are the odds we're not on air on 97.5? Do we know? Apparently, we've been having signal issues all day, so if we're not...
We are on the air.
Are we?
Yes.
Well, we're hearing that maybe we're not.
I was told before we came on air that listeners were saying we were back off the air.
Oh.
So if you can't hear us on 97.5, you can tune over to 94.1 or listen on the stream, or you can even get on the website and guess what? You can see us on video. And today you'll want to see us because it's not me and AJ, because AJ's out for the rest of the week. Two very special guests today, The Boss and The Gloss. And if you haven't heard their show on the network on Monday nights, you're missing out. David Gao and Carla Dawson joining me. What's going on, guys?
We've only been here a minute.
Switch mics. We need you on this one. Sorry. This is the...
Her first words were muzzled.
Yeah.
Give her another shot here.
Okay, let's try that again.
She is the gloss. I'm the boss. Carla Dawson. This is what we do on Monday nights.
This is what we do. And look, you've only had us in studio 1 minute, and we have already caused a power outage and can't get the mics right.
Well, that's okay.
How about that?
That's a normal Wednesday for us. It's like 100%.
Intriguing, though, with AJ out, it takes two to replace the one.
I was thinking that myself.
Well, I mean, ordinarily, yeah. Actually, tomorrow I've got two people filling in as well. Okay, there's a rookie mistake for the boss.
Well, it is a rookie mistake, but it's the guy who is fixing our signal. Oh. Somehow I'm in the middle of it, even while I'm sitting here.
Maybe you should deal with that and we'll talk.
Pastor Hector Guevara, and he's down there fixing it right now.
Oh, well, I pray that he gets it right then.
Meanwhile, I look like I'm going to sing you all the national anthem holding my mic here. Do you like it?
Yeah.
We'll figure this out at the break.
You'll get it. Yeah. It's easy. So thought this would be fun because, well, for one thing, at some point today, I'm going to grill Carla about San Francisco since I just got back. And she's from there.
Hometown.
And her mom still lives there. Correct.
That is right.
Yeah. And then we have the boss, David Gow, the G in David Gow or in Gow Media. And I thought it would be fun. We'll open it up to some questions via Twitter and the text line at 5 o'clock. If you've ever wanted to ask the owner of the company something, now's going to be your chance.
So. You can ask me what it's like to be Fred Fowler's boss. It's no easy task.
See, you always told me I were more like business partners. I didn't realize I had a boss. That changes the whole show now.
Yeah, see, you can see I'm fleshing him out.
Now I've got to behave. Damn. I had all this great stuff planned today. Nope, not going to do it now. It's like, yes, sir. So what do you want to talk about, Mr. Gow?
This is going
to
be a highbrow show.
Mr. Gow. Wow. Yeah. This is serious.
He's become Mr. Gow. But no, you guys have a fun show. What made you come up with the idea to do that?
I'm going to say that Carla was the inspiration. She was untapped talent. She needed a place to show off her ability to talk sports. We found a shot for her on the network, and then she was kind enough to welcome me into her show. So I'm her co-host. I'm the boss. She's the gloss with the boss and the gloss every Monday night.
So tell the truth. You just bought all these stations so you could do a radio show.
Yes, and do a radio show with Carla.
Okay.
This is just a bonus.
Because you knew I would ask him to join, and I did.
So how'd you guys get to know each other? I know your families are pretty close.
Oh, this is good.
Well, the one thing
started in your modeling career. Let's just go back to that.
Oh, it did start in my modeling career.
Don't think you're skipping over that part of that.
Yes, it did. Well, years and years and years and years ago, I was a model. And I modeled alongside a guy named Cole Dawson. It was for Abercrombie & Fitch. We were both Abercrombie & Fitch models before Abercrombie & Fitch modeling became a thing, a really exotic thing. But her husband, I mean, if you've ever seen the underwear shots, he's very handsome. He's an extraordinary model.
I'm taking the fifth.
I mean, you didn't marry him for those pictures, did you?
No, it was the Abercrombie cologne.
Oh, it was the cologne. That's what did the job. So I met her husband years ago. We were classmates. We did this gig together. And then he brought Carla to Houston. I brought my wife, Audrey, to Houston. We all started having children. And actually, the one regret I have is that it looks
separately.
Like...
Separately. Each family separately had their children. It's not one of those funny kind of things. Let's just be clear.
Yeah, no, hey, whatever you're into, I'm cool with.
You know, listen, Fred and his degenerates would fully accept that
right.
lifestyle.
This is why I felt the need to clarify at this point.
That's right. They might leap to that conclusion. But as it worked out, we kept having boys. We had four boys and ultimately a girl. Carla and Cole had three daughters, and my only regret is that none of my sons appear to be on a track to marry any of her daughters.
Yet. There's always that.
That'll happen. That would be, that's kind of like Game of Thrones, where you have to match the families and for royalty purposes.
Yeah. You know, the Game of Thrones thing is funny because I started, this is what happens when you follow Fred's advice too literally, Carla. I started watching Game of Thrones thanks to Fred. I mean, he talks about it all the time. He talks about it. It's a great show. And I like to work out to TV shows, particularly addictive shows like that, serial shows. And I think I was on episode 2. I wouldn't even know because I got cut off. I was working out on my machine. I'm watching this show. I don't know what's coming. And it was the wedding scene. I think it was episode 2 with the big guy and the beautiful blonde. And in the reception, basically an orgy breaks out. And I'm working out to this orgy.
We are starting this already?
We started.
Are just in segment one, boss.
Well, the problem was while I was working out to this orgy, my daughter walked into the room. She looked at the screen. She looked at me. She put her hands on her hips and she said, "Dad, what are you watching here?" Of course, I was terribly embarrassed in front of my daughter. And I said, "Well, Fred, maybe do it." So that was my only excuse.
Is that how you got the term degenerate?
Oh, that's everybody's excuse, man. It's like, and... You know, if a guy breaks up with his girlfriend, it's like, oh, well, the guys on the Blitz said to dump you. Sorry.
I get
blamed for everything. That's fine. I accept that. It's a burden, but it's a burden that I'm willing to hang on to.
You carry it well.
Yeah. So you can blame me for you watching the raw scenes in Game of Thrones, which aren't the best part of it, but that's okay. Did you get to the part where the 15-year-old was nursing on his mother?
Later. Yes, I've seen that scene.
Where's my suit of armor to go between you two here?
Yeah, you've not watched Game of Thrones, Carla.
I have not.
It's amazing you found your way on this show without having watched Game of Thrones.
But I grew up in Oakland, so it's just about the same.
Oh, it is. You actually lived Game of Thrones.
Yes, I grew up in the black hole, so I'm good.
Yeah, the more I get to know Carla, the more I don't really see her as a Game of Thrones person.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
But I think I take that as a compliment.
It kind of is. It kind of is.
You know, she's a woman of many nicknames. We call her the Gloss on our show, The Boss and the Gloss. But she's also the Monday Night Delight because it's on Monday nights. But to your Oakland roots, she's the Princess of Darkness. She loves her Raiders.
That's my favorite.
She loves the dark side of the Raiders.
Yeah, that other one sounds a little Weinstein-y to me.
The Monday Night Delight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Ooh.
Just a little
bit. Wow. Well,
there's a twist I hadn't thought
about. Thank you for that reference. We were keeping it pristine.
Gosh, Fred, can't wait for next Monday.
Yes. Woo.
Somebody around here needs to consider this stuff. I'm just saying.
Somebody has to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking out for the company here.
We've had no issues at the company thus far, although I've always viewed you as one of our great risks.
Me?
Yes.
I'm like the most responsible person here.
Is that how it is?
At least when it comes to actual work.
Yes.
I mean, now, as far as, you know, I'm real, I guess because I came out of an environment where HR was on your back about everything.
Yep.
I'm always really sensitive about that for some reason. Like, every little thing. I'm afraid to even compliment somebody on that looks good on a video. I have to say something like, well, that color really works for video. I don't even feel like I can pay a compliment anymore.
Well, in this day and age, that's safe.
Well, you got to be safe. I mean, this is
stay the safe route, but I'm going to go out on an edge here. Usually we're telling our listeners to go to the podcast or listen to the stream or whatever. We are back on the air, by the way.
Right.
But today we're going to tell them all to tune into the video. They need to go to ESPN 97.5 and click on viewing because they have a chance to meet the Gloss in person.
Yeah, and the way the camera's set up, you get to see David, you get to see Carla. You don't have to see me because I'm off in the corner.
Okay,
with my
that's
face
not
covered
right.
Up. No, that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Not for the man, the myth, the legend. I'd gladly trade places with you.
No, you need to stay right where you are because I think you've been drinking if you think that. And if you have, you need to be
pre-gaming for Fred.
You need to be using Thrive Plus because this stuff is fantastic. I took it with me to San Francisco, and I felt great the whole time. I was able to get out and run every morning, even though I was drinking quite a bit and doing some other stuff that we'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
But, guys, Thrive Plus is fantastic. Once you get to about 30, 35, even a little bit of alcohol makes you feel less than 100% the next day. And, man, I'm too busy to not feel 100%. I've got to be up in the morning working on Sports Map. That's why I use Thrive Plus. You'd simply take 3 capsules after your last alcoholic beverage or before going to bed. It's $1 a capsule, right? So for $3, you're going to feel better the next day. That's guaranteed. And it reduces alcohol's negative effects by giving your liver what it needs to possess alcohol and its toxic byproducts. And listen, I don't need to know the science of it. I just know it works. They were on Shark Tank. The founder's a Princeton graduate. They've got 5 PhDs between them. If you don't feel at least 50% better the next day, they're going to give your money back. And here's the best part. This is a Houston-based company. And if you order before 4 o'clock any day, you're going to get it on your doorstep the next day. So if you're planning on drinking Friday night, guess what? You can have it. To order Thrive Plus, go to DecideThrive.com. That's DecideThrive.com. They're even on Amazon, so if you want to order that way, you simply search Thrive Plus on Amazon. I don't drink without Thrive Plus, neither should you. Go to DecideThrive.com and feel better the next day. Well, it's all because of me. Now dance, man, I never had a chance. And no one even
from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J., he'll be back next week. But,
hey, everybody, this is A.J. Hoffman.
That sounds just like him.
Yeah.
Our good friend Craig Gass is in studio.
I'm repurposing my Tracy Morgan impression.
Hey, everybody, this is A.J. Hoffman. This show is making me horny. That's crazy. That is crazy.
That sounds just like AJ.
Yeah.
Craig is going to be doing, I'm going to do this up front so that we don't forget, because this is what always happens. We just start BSing and Craig starts doing his bits, and we never talk about the fact that you're going to be at the joke joint.
That's true. I always forget to mention stuff.
So we're going to do that right at the top, Thursday through Saturday. And guys, if you haven't seen Craig, I have to say, I just came back from a comedy festival in San Francisco. And I told him this yesterday, and he thought I was blowing smoke up his ass. But the truth is, I did not see one person who puts on a better show than Craig. And Jim Jeffries is the one guy I would say, yeah, he was great. Everybody else, and these are supposed to be big dogs. Go see Craig. He's hilarious.
If you come down, I'm usually funny. And there's some language, but I'm a good person. I love my mom, and I send her money every month. And but, yeah, I'm doing six shows this time. They added a sixth show on Saturday, which is going to be the dinner show. They're doing a 6 p.m. show on Saturday night. And for those of you who don't know, I'm a voice guy. I've always been able to do I've been doing voices on Family Guy and American Dad for the last few years, and I've always been able to do any voice that I hear because of how I grew up. And this is not a joke. It's a true story. Everyone in my family is deaf. My mom, my dad, and my sister are all completely deaf, which always makes people feel like, ooh, I don't want to make a joke. But it's like the most outrageous jokes I've ever heard about deaf people were from my own deaf family. I, like, last year, I threw a surprise birthday party for my sister. And everything's a surprise for deaf people. But I threw a surprise birthday party for my sister. And at dinner, my sister is sitting across the table from me, and she's signing to me in sign language. And she said, do you want to hear a good joke? And I said, sure. And then she said, me too. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, deaf people make the best jokes about deaf people. So, but growing up in a deaf family, I couldn't learn how to talk from my family. I learned how to talk by copying all the voices I heard on TV. And I never got an accent from the Bronx, which is where I'm from, and everybody in the Bronx sounds like Tracy Morgan.
Everybody in the Bronx talk like this, whether you black or white, male or female. That's crazy. Hey, this is the voice of your next door neighbor, and I'm a Vietnamese girl. That's crazy.
Yeah, so weirder the voice, the easier it is for me to do it. Here's my AJ Hoffman.
Hi, this is AJ Hoffman. I got a weird voice and a strange tone. It's like I got no tone. I sound like a deaf guy. Deaf people have no tone either. Pow!
You know what? That actually might have been my Christopher Walken. I'm not doing any original voices right now. I'm just repurposing all my impressions and making them AJ.
But they have worked for you over the years, so.
You know, the guy who I think has one of the coolest voices ever is Morgan Freeman. Did you see that story last week?
Yeah.
Well, there's two of them. The one that got me first before the big scandal broke was that he's doing the announcements on the transit system in Vancouver. Did you know that? They hired him in Vancouver.
I didn't know that.
Which is, I think it's hilarious because I think announcements are supposed to be brief. I can't picture Morgan Freeman.
Next stop, downtown. I was in downtown once, back in 1965. That's where I met your mama. Beautiful girl.
And now he's like a sexual harasser.
Yeah, yeah, he went full Weinstein.
You're on the train to Booty Town. Next stop, Booty.
Like, I feel bad for, I don't know. But it's just such a rich voice, and it's just weird to think of him sexually harassing people. But yes, the weirder the voice, the easier it is for me to do. From Christopher Walken to Adam Sandler, who is very silly, and he's always nervous, and he can't make eye contact with anybody. Shibby-doo, hee-hoo, you know, to whatever. And it lent itself to Family Guy and American Dad a few years ago. I got a phone call from Linda, the casting director of Family Guy, who said, hey, Craig, my name's Linda. I'm the casting director of Family Guy and American Dad. I don't know if you're available, but we'd like to offer you a job. And I was sitting in a Long John Silver's at the time, and I said, yeah, I'm available. I, you know, get some hush puppies. Okay. Yeah, yeah, what did you want me to do? And I agreed to everything this woman said. You ever been so excited to get a job, you just don't even ask for details?
Yeah, I have.
I think he does have that experience.
Yeah, I had this woman said, "Craig, are you available?" Yes. Do you can work in New York, where where I was living at the time. We can talk to you on the ISDN line, or if you can come to LA, we can put you in a studio with Seth MacFarlane. And I said, yes. And she said, can you be there next Friday? Yes. And I said, yes to everything. Hung up the phone. The night before I flew out there, I'm hanging out with a bunch of comedian friends of mine. And I said, hey, I don't know if I told you this. I just got offered a job doing voices with Family Guy. And they went, oh, my God, how much are they paying you? And I went, I have no idea. I never even asked how much are you going to pay me. And I had to call this woman up the next day. And I go, Linda, hey, it's Craig Gass. And she went, are you okay? And I said, I'm okay. This is very embarrassing. But I didn't ask you how much am I getting paid when I come in tomorrow. And she went, hang on. Craig Gass. You're getting scale plus 10. And I went, okay. All right, so I'm scale plus 10? And she said, yeah. And I said, all right, so I'm scale plus 10. She goes, yeah. You got any questions? And I went, yeah, what scale plus? I don't know. I've never been paid with a scale before. What are we talking about? She had to explain to me that the union that I'm a part of had negotiated at the time the union minimum scale was $780 plus 10%, which was $78. So I was going to get paid $858 to do this recording session, which I would have paid them to do it.
Right.
So all I knew is that my plane ticket was $400. I think my rental car was like $60, and I went, yeah, that's, you know, I'm going to make $300, so that's fine. And I walked in. And my first recording session, I was alone with Seth MacFarlane, who every TV show I've been on has been a huge show. King of Queens,
Sex in the City,
Law and Order. Everything I've done has been a huge show. But Family Guy was the first show I ever did that I was a fan of. I watch it religiously every Sunday. So when I walk in and I see Seth, I'm super nervous. I know everything about him. And every time he makes a joke, I laugh too hard. and then we go in, and the whole recording session lasts maybe 5 minutes. It's just Seth kept doing one line as Peter Griffin, where he said, "This is crazier than when Al Pacino was a slumlord laundromat tenant." And they cut to me as Al Pacino, surrounded by a bunch of broken down washers and dryers, going, "You're out of order, and you're out of order, and you're all out of order." And I did that 3 times, and Seth MacFarlane went, "All right, man, I think we're good." But I was nervous because I thought we were going to be friends now, because we're working together, and I thought we're going to be friends. And I said, "So, you want to hang out, or you want?" He goes, "What do you mean hang out?" And I go, "You want to grab a coffee or something?" And he goes, "I got to work." And I said, "All right, you want me to leave?" And he goes, "Yeah, get the hell out of here." And I go, "Oh, sorry, got my papers, walked out of the building." And I didn't hear from them again for like, I think it was like 6 months. And then they started calling me every couple of months and saying, "Hey, Craig, can you do this voice? Can you do this voice?" And every time they called, I said, "Yeah, oh yeah, I can do it." And then every time I walked in, Seth MacFarlane's never around. It's always a guy named Mike Henry who does the voice of Cleveland and the creepy old guy. And every time I see Mike, I go, "Hey, Mike, is Seth around?" And every time I see him, he goes, "Don't worry about Seth. We'll get you out of here real quick. That says everything. So where is AJ, by the way?
He is floating on a river right now.
Floating down a river?
Yeah.
Just drinking and...
drinking and floating, basically.
Having a good time?
Yeah, it's something he and his family do every year. They go for a week, go up to the river and get on the tubes and drink an awful lot of beer. I know he took several cases with him, so I'm sure he's about ready for replenishment.
And now, several cases of Thrive Plus, I might add.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was told that when I texted, "Hey, I'm back in town, I want to come out." And they said, "Well, AJ's gone, but one of our bosses is going to be here." So are both of you guys bosses? Are you what?
Well, I'm the boss, and she...
I'm the gloss, but sometimes the hoss, but luckily mostly the gloss.
Really? Okay. So you guys oversee the company, the building, the...
Oh, you're going to have to take me out of that one. He is the real boss.
Oh, okay. And
well, I oversee Fred Fowler, which is not an easy undertaking. Yeah, so you laugh immediately. It's the impossible, is it not?
Fred, you're spending an entire week with the guy that you answer to.
Well, just today.
Yeah, he wouldn't take me for a week.
No.
Really?
He thought one day would be enough.
I think I'm the only one with the balls to actually have him on, though.
I think, you know, I'll tell you this. As a radio guy, I've been doing radio for 20, as long as I've been doing comedy, I've been doing radio. And there's always moments where you screw up on the air or you go, oh, man, I don't know if I should do that. And the same thing, the same thought always comes up. Well, the boss probably isn't listening. And but you got the boss right.
Oh, no, well, I'm listening today.
He listens most days. If you know, we get off the rails a little bit, I'll occasionally get a text.
How long have you been dealing with radio talent?
Well, it's been 10 years now. It's probably been one of the biggest challenges of my professional career.
How many times overseeing radio talent have you ever had to pull somebody aside and go, that was uncalled for, what you did on the air today?
Actually, not too many times.
Really?
There have been about 15 to 20 times over 10 years where I've really felt compelled to do something like that.
Okay. And
now we have a guest coming later today who sometimes makes me cringe, Beth from Darling Way. She's,
okay.
She's what we call the sex lady.
Yeah.
And,
and she makes me cringe, although I've never really felt a need to reprimand her. She seems to know right how to get to the edge.
Because she speaks in a very clinical way, right? In a clinical, but she's very descriptive?
Yes.
She's descriptive?
Yes, yes and yes.
But she's in a clinical...
Yeah, you should listen to her describe the act of oral sex.
Really?
I think you'll be entertained.
God bless her.
Now that I mean, need to talk to her about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What time does she come in?
She'll be here at 6:15.
At 6:15? Okay.
So if you're in the car on your way back, then you should
and
listen.
Have any of your on-air guys ever made jokes about you on the air?
Oh, I tune them out most of the time, but yeah. Absolutely. Yes, it's a regular undertaking.
I think that is a thing. When you're on the air, I think it's compelling when you bring your life on the air and start talking about what's going on in your life. And part of it is where you work and the people you're dealing with at work. And I just always find it interesting the first time you hear a joke made about you, you just like, you know, there's times when I used to work with Howard Stern and my name will still come up. And somebody will make a joke about me, and it throws me. I'll be in Cleveland, Ohio, listening to the show, and I'll go, wait, what? You know, it just did it throw you the first couple times your name was mentioned in a way that was like making fun of you?
Yeah, I'd say it does. I'm sort of the corporate suit, right? That's my identity in the building. That guy who it just has to hole up and push numbers and look at spreadsheets. So I've embraced the identity.
Did you Is it hard to not take it personally?
I've gotten over it. I'm used to it now. They beat me into submission and to following it. I'm fine with it now.
Here's an honest question, though.
Yes.
Is there any one joke that's been made about you by any of your on-air guys that you still think about? It's still kind of, that one was...
No, you know, because they're just not that funny.
Because I'll do...
Sorry, Fred.
AJ's the one who makes jokes about
that's
you.
Right.
I've only said nice things, for the
that's
record.
Right.
I've done roasts. Some that were televised and some that were just for charity in front of just the audiences there for the charity. But at roasts, I know I'm going to get skewered.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I know because I'm sitting on that stage. We're all going to get slapped around. I know that. But the moment that someone on the microphone starts to go, I don't know if you know this, but Craig's whole family is deaf, I do the automatic, laughing. This doesn't hurt me at all. Like I'm pretending like, these are jokes. But it's hard to, sometimes it's hard to not, you know, take a joke. It's like when I do impressions of people, I find that people have a tough time with the impression. And I've had people do impressions of me. You've had someone do an impression of you and you go, that's not what I sound like.
Sure.
And I remember working on that TV show, Las Vegas. Alec Baldwin was my partner on the show. Like, not like a partner, like we didn't go camping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was like my partner. We robbed the casino. We did manly stuff together. We robbed the casino. But I remember every day Alec Baldwin would walk up to me and go, can I hear some more of your Al Pacino? I love your Al Pacino. Can I hear some more of your Al Pacino? And I go, yeah. Hey, real quick, this is my buddy, Fred. He's visiting from here. Can you do your impression for my buddy? And he would do impressions that, like, he has a Tony Bennett impression that you just go, what the hell does Tony Bennett sound like? But he'll grab an empty martini glass and go, yeah, I'll tell you what. I used to date Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe was a real foxy lady. I once made love to Marilyn for up to 12 hours until the paramedics came along and said, Tony, she's gone. It was the darkest material. It was so crazy. And then he would he would ask me, do you ever do the impressions for the people you do impressions of? Do you ever walk up and say, hi, I do an impression of you. Would you like to hear it? And I said, no, but you know what they do is people find me and they go, hey, you're the guy who does the impression of me. I want to hear the impression and I'll do it. And then they feel weird about it. They feel uncomfortable. And Alec Baldwin said, you know why? It's because you take a part of their soul. And I went, what the hell are you talking about? And wow. Then, but I get it because I've had people do impressions of me that makes everyone laugh, and I don't get it. And I'll go, what? Why is that funny? I don't walk like that. I don't sound like, is that, you know? So I get that a little bit. You know, it's just being thought of in any way that makes other people laugh can make me uncomfortable. So, and when you're the boss, people are going to talk to you about you, you know?
Well, they enjoy that. Now, I do have a homework assignment for you. You need to spend a lot of time listening to Carla Dawson here.
Okay.
And work on an impression of Carla. She's right, got Carla. A distinct voice, and I think that would be a good name to add to your repertoire.
Yeah, and she has a really good eye roll that we just saw there, too.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is that it's actually hard for me to do normal voices, and the more unique the voice, the easier it is for me to do it. So it's got to be – like Christopher Walken's easy because he – he sounds like a deaf guy. He sounds like he's got no tone. Tom Arnold has a normal voice, yeah. But he's speeded up. And Tom is he's always kind of out of breath and sounds like he's still doing coke. And he is. No, he's not. I've been sober for 12 years. I was actually at a Cocaine Anonymous meeting with Brett Favre. Probably shouldn't say that out loud, but Brett's a big cokehead. And again, it's, you know, supposed to be anonymous. But his sponsor is Bob Costas. Bob's addicted to porn. And again, I shouldn't say that out loud. But that's what I do, by the way, every year at the Super Bowl with you guys. I'll come on as Tom Arnold and just try to connect sports stars from the 90s and early 2000s that I saw at a meeting recently, at a 12-step program meeting. And every year, Tom Arnold will get in a Twitter war with people who will go, hey, man, it's supposed to be anonymous. And Tom will tweet at people, go, hey, did you notice that Sam Kinison was on the air, too? That guy's been dead for like 20 years, you idiot. That's not me, you idiot. And he'll fight with people. And it's hilarious to see those fights like spin out like that. But the shows this weekend are all going to be impressions, stories about people who I do impressions of, and the weird run-ins that I've had with them. How much time do I have to hang out here?
You know, we can do, what, another 6 minutes? Is that cool? We'll
just go. You doing a commercial and then come back for that?
We'll just combine the breaks. We'll be fine.
We'll just keep talking?
Yeah.
One of the people who really came after me was Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
I used to do an impression of him on the Howard Stern show where I would it only worked when music guests were in the studio. I would constantly interrupt the music guests as Gene Simmons and try to sell them crappy Kiss products. And the real Gene Simmons actually started getting hate mail because of all the awful stuff that I was saying on the air. And we didn't know it at the time, but Gene was getting hate mail. People were yelling at him on the streets. And Gene Simmons got on a plane and flew to New York to confront me live on the radio about my impression of him.
And he was really mad about this.
Yeah, it was kind of a mix. I didn't know how to read him. And the next day, our producer came in and said, hey, guys, you're not going to believe this. I just got off the phone with the KISS headquarters. Which, by the way, that sentence should have been, hey, guys, you're not going to believe this. There's a KISS headquarters. You know what I mean? Like there's some kind
of the sound of it.
Yeah, like there's some kind of Legion of Doom with four superheroes flying around wearing KISS underoos.
I just got a phone with the KISS headquarters. Gene Simmons wants to come in and he wants to be a guest on the show, like for real. And he only has one request. He says, I don't want to be there when Craig's around. That's his one request. He really hates you, Craig. He really hates you, man.
And I thought it would be funny. I said, well, what if I showed up anyway? Or what if I dressed up in full Gene Simmons makeup? And I end up crashing his interview dressed as Gene Simmons. And I walked in. You can actually see this on YouTube. I kicked the door open wearing KISS monster boots and said, stop right there. I'm the real Gene Simmons from KISS. And you are an imposter. But I can prove it. Because I got a bunch of cheap crap I want to sell you. And I had a bag full of crap that I had written KISS logos on. Just random knickknacks. And remember I had like a New Kids on the Block lunchbox. And I just took out a Sharpie and wrote KISS. That's $50 right there. And he loved it. And I went on to do shows with KISS. And then until recently. And I told you the story about how I got in trouble with the KISS fans, right? On the KISS cruise?
Yeah, tell them, though.
Now the KISS fans are mad at me because I got invited to perform on this event called the KISS Cruise. There's 3,000 KISS fans from around the world. They get on a cruise. She laughs. Like, it's...
I'm sorry. That's better than the Gronk cruise, I have to say.
I'm about to perform on a wrestling cruise with Chris Jericho in a few months. It's like a rock and wrestling. They got all these bands, and then the Impractical Jokers are going to be there, and myself. But I do this KISS cruise, and I met a girl on the cruise who was the cruise director. She's really upbeat. She's really peppy. She's the Julie McCoy of the KISS cruise. And when I meet her, she goes, "Oh, my God, you're the comedian. You're the voice guy from Family Guy. And the, oh, my God, do you want to make an announcement on the ship tomorrow morning?" And I said, "I would love to make an announcement. Is everyone going to hear it?" And she goes, "It gets piped into every cabin." The next morning, everyone on the KISS cruise woke up to, "Hey, everybody. This is Paul Stanley,
and this is Gene Simmons from KISS, and we have a very important announcement. Do not panic, but we have a very important announcement about the KISS cruise. It seems that the KISS cruise has just hit an iceberg."
Now, keep in mind, when I said we've hit an iceberg, we're in the middle of the frickin' Bahamas when I said that. There's no reason for you as an intelligent person to go, "This ship's going down! We're in the Bahamas!"
But do not panic, because KISS is going to take care of everybody, okay? We actually have three packages to get everybody off the ship. First, we have the Platinum Package, which is $5,000, which is we put you in a life raft and you have your own private photos taken with KISS. Then we have the Diamond Package. Isn't that right, Paul?
That's right. The Diamond Package.
For $10,000, where we throw you in the ocean with Tommy and Eric, and then KISS floats by on a raft, and we do a private acoustic show in the ocean.
Everything I said was stupid, but apparently two or three of the passengers actually ran to the employees and said, "Is KISS really going to charge us to get off this boat?" And so KISS fans got mad at me. But I'll tell you one thing that has happened since the last time I've seen you. I auditioned for Saturday Night Live for the first time, and it's the next step is supposed to be happening in the next few weeks. But Dana Carvey helped me with my first two rounds of my audition.
Awesome.
And he's a huge supporter. I thought I might be too old to even audition, but some friends of mine who work on the show have pointed out that Leslie got hired when she was 46 or 48, so they're like, it's not really about age, it's about what you can do. And they asked me to learn some political impressions, and there's only one guy in politics that I think is very funny. He's a conspiracy theorist, and his name is Alex Jones. Do you know
who
Alex Jones is?
Yeah.
He's crazy. Yeah. He's just nuts. And if you don't know who Alex Jones is, first of all, he has a voice that sounds like a grizzly bear making love to a knapsack. It's like a... And he essentially, his whole show, from how I understand it, is don't trust anyone. And then he tries to sell you some vitamins. And it's the weirdest thing. Like, he continually hammers don't trust anyone, and then he's got some potions to sell, and his conspiracy theories will go, I'll follow it for a minute, and then it'll end in something, ladies and gentlemen, the government's lying to you. They're lying to you about everything, and you shouldn't trust anybody. They say there's 212 bones in the human body. I've counted. There's only seven. Anyways, this is a wonderful new butt cream that I've been trying. I think it's wonderful. I know Fred's been trying it. You said the butt cream's working really well on you, and we're selling it for right now, limited time, $49.95. And they say Oklahoma City is a real city. I've been there four times. It's not a real city. Anyways, get this wild lass. Go to Infowars.com. And you know what? He's the most masculine guy in the world. He just he sweats and spits a lot, and he's just, I rode a bicycle across America when I was 4 years old. I'm a real man. I'm spitting on my spit guard. This is why you put a spit guard on. So
yeah,
you can,
exactly.
Like, so you can,
so you don't get electrocuted.
So you can do Alex Jones and not get electrocuted. If you come to the show this weekend, it's at Joke Joint Comedy Showcase, and it's jokejointcomedyshowcase.com. This felt more like an infomercial.
Yeah, you should do Alex Jones telling them to buy their tickets.
Ladies and gentlemen, right now I'm going to tell you right now the government's lying to you about everything. The only thing that's real is that Craig Gass is going to do six shows that may or may not be funny. Go to Joke Joint Comedy Showcase right now! .com. Nothing is real. The frogs are gay! Frogs are gay!
Google that. He actually said that, that frogs are gay. That the government has some kind of chemical they're putting into frogs to make them gay. It's one of my favorite YouTube clips.
Is that the same chemicals coming out of the contrails on the airplanes?
Yes, it's all part of a conspiracy. It's all out there. It all needs to be investigated. But I really am doing six shows at Joke Joint.
So what time tomorrow?
Tomorrow I believe is 8 p.m. And then there's two shows Friday and then three shows Saturday because they added the dinner show. And if you want to see some weird pictures, go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/ILoveGas. I love gas with two S's. And you'll see there's a collection of weird stuff. Anytime I'm in a weird situation with a celebrity, I always try to document it. Go there and you'll see what I'm talking about.
And go see the show, man. He's hilarious. And Craig, always fun, man. Before we let you go, you got to give me a little Sam Kinison because you know it's my favorite.
I know that this is the demon. This is a demon. This is a guy that some of you may not be aware of because you're too young. There was a time when there was a guy who used to be a preacher, used to speak the word of God, found his way into cocaine. Oh! What kind of voice is this? Oh! Oh! That is what marriage will do to you, folks. That is what marriage will do to you.
Can I tell you my favorite Kinison line that he never put out?
Sure.
I've been working at the Comedy Store a lot for the last few years, and a guy who works at the Comedy Store gave me a tape of Sam. He did a piece that no one has ever heard before, and it's Sam talking about Nostradamus, and he said, I'm fascinated by this story, Nostradamus, because here's a guy who, during his time, was able to predict major world events, was able to predict World War I, World War II. Almost, he predicted the rise of Hitler and almost named the guy. He said, and if you know anything about Nostradamus, yeah, the great Hister will rise from the East. And he said, I'm reading this and I'm going, well, that's fascinating. But wait a second. Wait a second. What if Hister hasn't shown up yet? What if this is the guy that's going to make Hitler look like a wussy? Oh! Oh! Joke Joint Comedy Showcase, everybody. I'm auditioning right in front of the top of the heap of this company. JokeJointComedyShowcase.com.
Yeah, go check it out, guys. And Sam Kinison was always my favorite comedian. That's why I love when Craig does it. And,
thanks for throwing me under the bus, Fred. Joke Joint Comedy Showcase. Great reaction.
Follow him on Twitter at Craig Gass Comedy, by the way. Right now, I got to tell you about Texans Can Academies. And this is a place that changes lives. They take in kids who've dropped out of other schools. They give them another chance. A lot of these are really good kids that had to get jobs to support their families. And that's why they dropped out. Well, they work around that. And they give them an opportunity to graduate. And a lot of them just did. And they're going to go on and do great things in our community. And guess what? You can help. And your donation is needed. And by your donation, just a vehicle you're not using anymore. And now that school's out, they need to start gearing up for next year. You probably got stuff sitting there that you don't need anymore that's in your garage. Maybe you were going to fix it up. You didn't get around to it. Car, truck, can be an RV, can be a motorcycle, can be a tractor, can be a Sea-Doo. Doesn't matter if it's running. Doesn't matter if it has flood damage. They'll tow it free of charge. They're going to process all the paperwork. And your donation's tax deductible, which, trust me, on your taxes next year, that's going to help a lot. And if you donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, $50 Visa gift card. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
I got loyalty inside my DNA.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hey, if you haven't checked out Sports Map today, you should. There's a lot of great stuff on there. I know, because I put it there. Great videos, all kinds of stuff. The site's blowing up. Thanks to all you guys. If you're having problems with the signal at all, check out 94.1. We're on both today. And special guest David Gow. And Carla Dawson, the boss and the gloss. I'm gonna come up with a better nickname though for Carla. Although
I know you promised me you'd have one by the end of the show.
I will. I'll have something appropriate. Something will jump out at me, and that's I'm not going to do one for the boss because he's the boss. But you have to be respectful there.
Some restraint, rare moment of restraint.
You mean you don't have to be respectful for me, Fred?
Well, semi-respectful, yeah.
All right, but I can take it.
His name's on my checks, so I've got to be a little more careful. But it's funny, just to peel back the curtain a little bit, it's like every time Dave and I have sat down to talk contract, we'll like block off 30 minutes, and then we spend 2 minutes saying, is this okay? Yeah, it's okay. And then we spend the rest of it talking about how to grow the business, or I'm picking his brain about business stuff. It's a lot of fun. It's the easiest negotiation ever.
Would you say the same, boss?
Oh, yeah. Well, because really, Fred and I have had a lot of fun exploring different business opportunities. And really, we've collaborated together on the launch of sportsmap.com. And Fred has really been the catalyst internally for the launch of that site. And obviously, he's the editor of that site. So he's responsible for the content every day. And Fred is a business partner in that regard.
So I have two bosses. I'm in a boss sandwich.
That's right. She's in a boss
sandwich.
Good gosh,
there are bosses everywhere I look.
See, if you were the sex lady, that would sound really wrong.
Well, you might need to explain that.
I have been mistaken.
I know.
That's a story.
Carla, tell people what happened, why you were dubbed the sex lady. It's not right.
It's really not right. I'm way too Catholic to be dubbed the
and
sex
Ken
lady.
And Ken Hoffman's involved in the story. And
he's
going to
be upset if I say something, though.
I think it needs to come out.
Mm. Yeah, I think you should tell a story.
So David wanted me to meet Ken Hoffman. I'd never met him in person before. We share a cubicle wall, neighbors and everything here. So I introduced myself to him at a lunch and I said, hey, Ken, we're cubicle neighbors. I'm Carla. He said, oh, you work at the station? I said, yes. What do you do? He goes, oh, I know what you are. You're the sex lady.
That's nice.
Well, that I've got to say, that's a first in my life. I have never been mistaken for the sex lady. That's how our friendship
leave it to
started.
Ken Hoffman.
Yeah.
I guess I know Beth really well. You guys are a little different. So.
Well, we'll see tonight, right?
Well, you guys
will see.
And we should
Beth
be different. Beth does Beth, and I'll do me.
Yeah, she'll be here at 6:30, and then I know she's doing sex trivia afterwards I believe. She'll tell us about it, because I think I told her I would go last week, and then now I've got other plans. So.
Well, I was nervous about joining this show. But never as nervous as when I had to be a guest on Beth's show. I mean, she's tough. Well, have you been interviewed by her on her show?
I haven't done her show yet because I won't let her trap me into that.
Yeah, but I got trapped.
I was a little worried about
you. Get trapped?
I was a little worried about you doing that because, we got to protect the brand a little bit here. But you did great.
Fred was good to me right before we went in. And I went in to record the show with Beth. Fred turned to Beth and said, treat him gingerly. There's an important element here. I mean, we can't just let me go down a bad path. So I think she showed some restraint.
Like he owns the airways that you're talking on.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, let's be careful there.
All right, we are going to take a very quick break. When we come back, I want to ask Carla a few things about San Francisco that I noticed because they're a little weird. And then at 5:15, we'll do Ask the Boss. You can tweet me questions for him. You can text them. Legitimate questions that you might have about the station or any things going on here. This is your opportunity to have a pipeline to the main guy who makes all the decisions. And we'll do that at 5:15. So don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.